This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where right now it's time for the C-Block starring Corey Majors.
I appreciate the people that said they almost spit their drinks out whenever I said the crappy barber thing. But okay. Kevin's going to get his opportunity to
watch that,
and we'll be happy for it. I'll just send you a link later on this evening. Maybe even tomorrow. For Friday I'll pull some audio for it. Before we get into what I wanted to talk about here, let's address this Dak Prescott thing. Okay. Because
false
there, and I haven't watched. He said this is a Bruce Denon has a Brown source with some major news. Quote, the Browns are negotiating as we speak with the Cowboys for a trade with Dak Prescott. So that's what he is saying. Everybody that covers the Cowboys is like, cap, thumbs down. Like, yeah. this isn't happening. And Kevin, but I'm not, hey, what if it did? You know, so, but
if it
doesn't
did,
make sense at all,
yeah.
And that's where I wanted you to help me out here, because Kevin is my cap expert. And I'm not talking about whenever you're lying about something. I'm talking about the salary cap. He's my cap expert. How much for the Browns, it doesn't make sense, because they just lost Deshaun Watson.
And he's still going to count $73 million on their cap this year, even though they made a switch. So they would be looking at, what, like $105 million on their cap for quarterback this year?
And I don't know, like, it wouldn't make sense for them to do that to themselves.
No.
Unless they seriously think they're one quarterback away. And if they think that, they think it's Dak Prescott. That's the one that they're like, that's the one that we want. Now, I can see the Cowboys saying, look, man,
sense.
We've seen all we want. We've seen all we can handle out of this. We got destroyed last year after, you know, all these things.
Oh, hold up. I forgot. They transferred. I still don't understand why they did that. They switched up some of Deshaun's contract. So it would only be more like a $70 million contract hit, which is still a lot. And look, if you're the Cowboys, I would support this a million billion percent. Sure, you would take a gimundo salary cap hit, but you would get it out of the way and pick up more draft assets. That would really torpedo your efforts for this season, but your ability to rebuild after that would be great. But it's not going to happen.
Yeah, and at the current moment, your quarterback room is pretty empty. Are you going to say that a Quinn Ewers is what you're going to roll out there? Or are you trying to make that move for a Shador? Are you trying to make that move to go ahead and do something? But I just,
oh man, that would be pretty shocking.
I don't feel like there's a reality for this, but we will. I honestly want to know how it would work, how they would make that function happen, and what they would want to do there. So that's very interesting, and that does kind of alter. If that was the case, that would completely alter this draft.
Yeah.
Broaddus and Woolchuk would go, holy crap, we have to change everything we've thought about now, and the excitement level leading up to April would be crazy.
That's a great question for Broaddus and for Woolchuk is, what's your level of excitement for, hey, we got to do this quick, versus the hell did I do all that other work mm-hmm. for?
Yeah, exactly. And that being said, though, if you are one of those scouts, you got to be prepared for everything. You got to be prepared for every single bit of what you're trying to accomplish, and that's what they want out of them. All right, so we're going to move off from that and move over to the draft portion that I wanted to kind of dive in on, and that was, how important to you is wide receiver in this draft?
Pretty darn important.
Interesting.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm glad that you said that, because I've been looking at more and more and more of these mock drafts, and McMillan's name keeps popping up over and over. And I saw somebody ask Broaddus this morning, I believe. They said, hey, man, is a good comp for him Keyshawn Johnson? Big body type, ability to move chains kind of guy. And Broaddus said he covers more ground, as in he's a better deep ball receiver than Keyshawn was. Now, when Keyshawn got here, he wasn't a great deep ball receiver at that time. And I don't even know that he was that electric of a deep ball receiver early on in his career. But by the time he got to Dallas, you could definitely see there was a different form that he had taken on, and he was a possession guy. Big, huge body. McMillan, everything that I've watched of him, there's a lot of different ways that he can cover the field. But he's a very talented receiver as well. So that name keeps popping up. And that's, I think, a perfect complement to CeeDee Lamb. Because CeeDee Lamb is your fast speed guy. You're trying to find ways to get him in the slot.
Yes.
And if you have a McMillan on the outside that's a big-time threat, then you can move CeeDee Lamb around and create those kinds of places. But if that's not necessarily the one, and maybe there's somebody else out there, maybe there's another receiver that you really like a lot out there, again, I ask the question, for this draft, for the Cowboys, how important is wide receiver to you?
I think it's really important, because you can make an argument you need a number two and a number three wide receiver. And at the very least, you need a number two wide receiver. I know that they have high hopes based off the trade they made. Great. I'll believe that when I actually see it pay off. I know we've all had high hopes for the Jalens over the last couple of years. Great. I want to see more from that.
Hope is not a good strategy.
Exactly. So I think at the absolute minimum, you need a receiver that you can look at as a verifiable number two threat, especially when you saw some of the backsliding problems that Jake Ferguson at tight end had last year. But I think you could make another argument that they need two wide receivers.
I'm also really curious as to what this offense is going to look like with Dak after the injuries that he's had now in his career. Look, I know we'll talk to Jerry and Steven, and they'll tell us this line. Nobody we trust more to recover from this and come back just as strong as ever. Hey, look, I agree.
Yeah.
I think Dak will give you everything he can to be back and be the best possible version of himself. I agree that. There's no way I don't. But I also know the reality of injuries take tolls on humans' bodies.
Yeah.
That's just the way that it is. So will they be a different style? And will they need multiple big-time player receivers like they wanted with Dak? Or will they say, no, actually, we're more of an I-formation team than we've ever been before?
Look, man, you were just hinting at it. If want to is all it took to succeed, the landscape of history of the world in sports would look so much different. I have no doubt that Dak's want to is off the chart. But I also know that he's getting older and has piled up injuries.
Yeah, it happens. I mean, and it's happened to him, and unfortunately, they took the hit multiple times because of it. And I'm not blaming him. I'm not accusing. I'm not after him for anything. Hell, whenever Dak started as the quarterback here, I was like, man, I really like this guy. I like what he's bringing to the table. Over time, things just have not turned out, and you've seen probably – the apex of what he and this team can be. And
I agree. That's
an unfortunate thing, but that's whenever, Kevin, we've always said this, you have to be realistic with what you are as a team and what you see as your players instead of going, no, they'll be better because.
And that's the thing that bothers me. I think, and I'm sure there's lots of sports teams and fan bases that feel this way, you should have a better pulse of your team than anyone anywhere else could conceivably have.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like the Cowboys have that and then choose to write the report in the rosiest possible outcome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like that's not good. Like, you can sell that to the people, but like, that shouldn't be the case inside the room. And sometimes I worry it is the case inside the room.
And somebody just tagged us, Kevin, in Adam Schefter's post that it has been done. So I appreciate, hey, thank you, Big Business, for looking out for us and giving us the laughy emoji. All right, so here's another thing that I wanted to dive in on real quick, Kevin.
Oh, do you want to mention that one time that you quote tweeted a Ian Rappaport fake account?
Nope, I do not. I do not want to admit, because then I have to say the name of the account, and I don't want to do that again. So
that was unfortunate.
There was an E in there.
Yeah, that was unfortunate.
Right. So yesterday, I got a text from my dad. My dad lives in Canton, and he texted me a picture of two pictures of a gray, what appears to be a pit bull. And he said he showed up on our porch, no collar. It looks like somebody just dumped him out here. And so dad fed him.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
They recently lost their dog. She passed away, Diamond. She was also a rescue pit bull. And he's growing up, I'll be honest, my dad never had pit bulls. He never was a pit bull guy. This is what's happened. These dogs have found him. And so he's like, I will take care of you. You need some help, I'll take care of you. I have not met this dog yet. I don't know his personality, but my dad said that he's been hanging around, and dad is like, all right, I'm just going to take you in under my wing. And the potential name, I'm pushing for this, all right, because my dad threw it out there. The potential name is Perry Mason Majors. My dad loves Perry Mason.
Who can we put on the case?
Exactly.
I know.
Exactly. And so that was like, it really does warm my heart that my dad's done this now twice. And I can't believe somebody would just go leave a dog. There are all these other options. There are so many other options to do something with this animal than just to go leave them out in the middle of nowhere and say, go fend for yourself.
Yeah.
Now, they are an animal. I get that part of it. But there's a lot of different places you can go. That being said, Dallas Animal Services is in need of some help.
Yes.
This morning, I learned that Majors, the dog that was named after me, has been adopted.
Yes.
So I do believe that is now five dogs from the 105.3 The Fan group that have been adopted courtesy of the Dallas Animal Services. Go to 105.3thefan.com/adopt. And my friends at Best Buy Windows and Siding are big-time supporters of this as well.
That's super cool.
So I really appreciate the efforts that they put forth and the efforts that other people are putting forth saying, hey, I can take a rescue. Look, they're a little different. They definitely are a little different. But that dog that my dad found, I was like, there will be no dog more loyal than that one right there to you.
You just hit it on the head. Like, it might take a while, but you're right. Loyal. There will be no companion on the face of planet Earth that will be more loyal than that dog.
Somebody just texted me and said they were wondering if they could have. He's a mail carrier. He has a customer looking for that dog. Any chance I can have a picture? So maybe I'll be able to make a little connection there and we can find that out. Maybe that's the case.
And by the way, the dogs are so loyal that sometimes my wife doesn't get upset, but she's like, hey, guys, calm down. Because when I come home from work, if she wants to give me a hug or the baby, it's the dogs that are the first to me. And they're like, sorry, sucka.
From the 903, I live between Athens and Canton, Corey. People dump dogs on my road all of the time, and it's sad.
That's sad. That is sad.
Like I said, go to 105.3thefan.com/adopt. Check that out. Thank you very much to my friends at Best Buy Windows and Siding for being supportive as well, and I really appreciate that. Now, Kevin, one last thing here.
Mm.
A United Airlines Boeing 787 jetliner was flying from Los Angeles to Shanghai.
Ooh.
It had to turn around last weekend after it was discovered one of the pilots had taken off without his passport. Flight UA-198 departed.
Did you say turn around?
Flight 198 departed LAX around 2 p.m. Saturday, March 22nd. You're going to be leaving around 2 o'clock, by the way.
That is true.
257 passengers, 13 crew on board, headed to northwest, headed northwest over the Pacific Ocean, bound for China's largest city. About 2 hours into the flight, the plane turned around.
So that's an extra 2 hours back.
And was redirected to San Francisco, where it landed around 5 p.m. local time, according to the website. The pilot did not have their passport on board. Quote, we arranged for a new crew to take our customers to their destination that evening. Customers were provided with a meal, vouchers, and compensation.
Yeah, they
and the flight with the new crew took off around 9 p.m., so 7 hours later to Shanghai, about 6 hours behind schedule.
Could that pilot have not just stayed on the plane? Like, I don't know how it works if when you get – I've never flown into another country. Like, I've been to Canada. I've been to Mexico. We've driven in there. I've never flown in to another country. I don't know if they check your passport, like, right when you get off the plane or anything like that. But if that's the case, well, sorry, pilot. You have to sit your ass in the plane.
Yeah,
you
sorry.
Have to sit there. And you can't go anywhere.
After landings in San Francisco, Yang Xuan received 2 meal vouchers totaling $30.
What?
And she used that at a Japanese restaurant in the airport, and she said she also filed for a compensation claim on United's website, where she was informed to expect a response within 14 business days.
Yeah, I bet. They're going to have a specific agent for just this Nimrod in the flight.
The 4 hours of flight where they decide to turn around, you're going, you're excited to go, and then they go, we're turning around. And then you're like, now we're taking off again. I would be so unhappy.
Do you think there was any parent who looked at their kids and was like, see, this is why I make this threat. We will turn this thing back around. By the way, from the 469, they said, tell Corey, I want some credit for this too. I'm eating my first roast beef and provolone from Jersey Mike's, and I love it. That is a top, top notch sandwich. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we're going to do some My Buddy's an Idiot, but also we're going to have on from FC Dallas, I believe we're going to bring in goalkeeper Michael Colati next right here on The Fan.
Izzo Spartans once again dancing to the sweet sounds of March. Michigan State on to the Sweet 16.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live at Toyota Stadium in Frisco, partying with FC Dallas. Ryan, if you want to see what the new stadium is going to look like after all of the new construction, go to newtoyotastadium.com. They're going to get underway at 2 o'clock. Obviously, some rain has hit here, so I'm curious to see how the plans go ahead. In the meantime, it's time for My Buddy's an Idiot. Does your friend have a terrible sports or pop culture opinion? Or were they perhaps railroaded by the justice system?
What happened there?
All right. So we didn't get a chance to mention this yesterday. Cain Velasquez, former UFC heavyweight champion. Now, I want to be very clear. I didn't sit through any of the trial, any of the depositions, any of that. I've just read a lot in the media reports that I'm like, yeah, I could see that. That's probably fair. So Cain Velasquez was charged with attempted murder.
Oh.
Because he allegedly shot.
I remember this story.
Yes. He allegedly shot a person. And I get it. On the one hand, you're like, ooh, bad. Don't do that.
Shooting somebody's bad in most instances.
On the other hand, we're just going to play a little devil's advocate here. Harry Gallarte is the person who Cain allegedly shot. Well, I guess since he's going to go to jail. About a week before the incident, Gallarte had been charged with one felony count of lewd and lascivious acts with a child under the age of 14. Now, the part that is insane about all of this is Gallarte was let out on his own recognizance and granted supervised release. That just seems like some madness right there. So Velasquez, I can't remember if this was like his niece or one of his cousins, but it was a family member. And so look, You're not supposed to be a vigilante. I get all of that. But if somebody was alleged to have done this to one of your underage family members, I'm not going to lie. I can see how you would take justice into your own hands. And he got sentenced to 5 years in jail, and I don't know about all of that.
Man, that is that's interesting. It is also, though, Kevin, the law to not take the law into your own hands.
Yeah.
And that, like, as much as we want to and as much as we get furious that maybe the justice system isn't doing their part or taking that part of it, but we got to figure out ways to fight it the way that we know how we can legally. Otherwise, you do have to pay that consequence.
Yeah.
Just like you always say about Randy Gregory or whoever, they get fines, you know the rule.
You're right. And look, his attorneys had asked for time served and probation. That got turned down. And I know it's a different situation, different circumstances, different crime, but it does seem weird to me that they're like, no, you can't do time served. But the guy accused of lewd and lascivious behavior with somebody under the age of 14, he can be out on his own recognizance. That just, I get it. I'm not privy to probably some of the evidence, maybe a lot of the evidence, but that absolutely sucks. The next idiot, blood clots.
Oh.
Because I don't know if this can be classified as an idiot, but Damian Lillard is now out indefinitely with the same condition that ended Wemby's season.
Oh.
I'm sure there's a lot of people listening right now who have either suffered from blood clots or perhaps even lost, friend, family member, something like that to that. So, you know what? Blood clots, you're an idiot.
Yeah. Yes, I agree with you. Blood clots are the worst.
Yes.
Have you ever... I had a friend. I've had a couple of friends that I've lost in that way, Kevin. One of them actually, you know, we know very well.
Yes.
Do it for Durrett. It was, that way. So that is very tough because of how surprising it can be, too. You know, it just pops up out of nowhere.
Yeah, out of nowhere.
Yeah. You're just walking in and all of a sudden you're done.
Yeah. And that's, like, you think about that all the time when people say, you know, tomorrow's not promised. I take that for granted all the time. Like, hey, I'm going to do this. And like, it's, you don't know.
Nope.
Like, somebody might hit you on the way home. Or
is that bad then of me whenever I tell my kids, hey, say you love your mom before she leaves, because you never know when you might, if you might not see her when she comes.
You know, I might just focus on the first part of that message because they are still children, but you're not wrong. All right. Let's go to Chris Broussard. Here's the question I have. Is he the idiot because he said that Luka Doncic is an all-time elite ball hog?
Okay.
Is that an idiot opinion, or are you going to support that?
Maybe he's right.
Oh, my God.
I'm not saying, listen, the dude has plenty of assists in his career, right? Like, we've seen the amount of assists that he's been, and he can. He could be a 35 assist guy if he wanted to be. If he just wanted to tell the whole team, guys, y'all are scoring all the points tonight, he could. I know for a fact he loves looking up at the board and seeing his triple doubles. I've seen it. I've seen it firsthand. I've looked at him and gone, oh, okay. And the other part of it is he believes he's the best option. Like that,
sure.
And when you're on the court and you believe you're the best option, everybody's telling you the best option, and everybody's looking at you and saying, what are you going to do? Then you start to say, well, what other option do I have other than myself? So maybe that is, you can say ball hog. You can also say, who else do you want to go out there and put those points up?
And then one more quick question for you. Oh, all right. We're going to be ready to go. Do you think Tom Izzo is an idiot because he went off on a reporter for asking about the transfer portal? He's like, dude, we're in the middle of the effing tournament.
I don't think he's an idiot for that. I think the transfer portal opening up in this time is an idiot because it's a bad time. It's bad timing altogether.
Okay.
These teams are still playing, and they're like, hey, let's open this up and see who wants to stick around and who doesn't. And so I don't know. I don't think Izzo's an idiot for it. Unless he, like, I saw it a little bit, but was he that mean about it?
No, because he goes, I'm going to let you go, but here's another
okay,
thing. And, like, that was the part he was like, I'm going to let it go because you're just doing your job. But one more thing about all of that. All right, right now, we bring to you, now let's see if I embarrass myself to start this thing off. I am going to go with Michael Collotti No, that is incorrect.
Man, he almost came across the table, punched you just now. I saw it.
I think it's partially because he's still frustrated at the giant media packet that he was just given about all these bullet points that he really needs to
hit. About this.
Where did I go wrong on the name?
The second O, it's Collodi.
Collodi. That's how I would have said it, honestly. That was whenever I read it earlier today.
Okay,
so.
Well, thanks for the tip. Yeah, you really could have helped me out there.
You really left him out to dry.
Well,
there,
I mean, that's what best friends do, though. You know, you go to best friend mode, you just take them to the top rope and throw them down and jump on top of
absolutely.
Them.
Have you picked any particular media talking point? Because let's just take a look at this real quick. I'm sorry. I hope this is okay. This is a lot of information, all right? There's a lot of information that you just got handed right before this interview.
Oh, yeah.
He's prepared.
He's like, let me look. Let me look real quick. We had the opportunity to watch up here and watch the training that was just going on. Mm-hmm. It was intense. And I was talking to somebody around here. I covered Richland College. They were like three-peating their national championship in junior college. When I would go cover their practices, it was more intense than the games were sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I always loved going to practice to watch it. Do you like that kind of tempo that y'all have during practice?
No, absolutely. And, I mean, that's kind of what Eric wants and the team wants to create, that environment of we're pushing as hard as we can here so that we do the same thing in the games and other teams won't be able to keep up with it because we do it in training every day.
Yeah.
Did training get cut short at all because of the rain, or was that always the plan?
We didn't plan the rain, no. No, I think it just happened. Okay. It happened on time naturally. I don't think it was cut short at all. I don't know, though. We were just told to go inside.
Okay.
I just follow orders.
That's good. Yeah, that's probably good.
Smart thing. Who's the one most likely to fake an injury in practice?
Oh, my gosh.
Nobody would ever do that.
Okay.
Nobody would ever do that.
That's a teammate right there. That's what I'm talking about. I love it.
In a game, that's a whole different deal. Now, all right. So one of the things I wanted to ask you about, obviously, it has been a humongous week in your life. Mm-hmm. Not only we're doing all the things with the construction, fixing up the stadium and everything, but this past weekend, you get the start and you get the clean sheet. What was that? I guess what's the experience like before the game? Do you have to continue to tell yourself it's another game? You've done this a million times. Like, what goes through your mind?
Yeah, I mean, similar to that, I've been playing for a long, long time, and I've played in some big matches, and we went to final last year, so we've played in some big pressure moments, and just kind of coming into it, and just really just wanted to trust myself and my abilities going into it, and just be secure and really wanted to just get the 3 points more than anything.
And that feeling at the end of the game when you do get 3 points and less important but still have the clean sheet, what's the feeling then?
That's the reason we play, right? We play to win. So it's just went about as good as we could have hoped. Obviously, we want to bag a couple more goals. I think we had a lot of chances to do so. But we're kind of really happy with how the game went away and happier with the 3 points.
And better than the match against Vancouver when we need to talk about it. No shots on goal. That had to have been a frustrating aftermath. Like, even if you're not directly responsible for that, that had to be frustrating in the aftermath of that.
Yeah, I mean, we were frustrated just as a team with how we weren't really able to do what we wanted to do on the ball and just weren't as clean as we know we can be as a team. So that was definitely something that was focused on towards the weekend, was a big kind of, this is what we really want to focus on, and being lethal in the attack and getting chances, and which we did, and ended up helping us win.
You feel like this team is kind of found itself, or it's still on that journey to find out like its personality, and what would you describe it as right now, the team's personality?
I think this past weekend was a big kind of show of who we want to be, and kind of the mentality that the team and that Eric wants to bring is just we're there and we have the ability to play football and dominate, but if we need to at the end with 10 minutes left, we can just fight and just grind it out and grind out a win.
And one of the things that I thought was really neat is FC Dallas is teaming up, the foundation is teaming up with Amazon to expand out on their youth soccer access. Now, obviously, you're a product of the homegrown.
Yes.
I was curious if you could speak to, like, it feels like this is an elite development program, like, before you even get to the big club, but also how cool it is to help expand that out to hopefully even more areas.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've been a part of the club since I think I was 12 when I first joined the academy, so it's been it's even when I was off to college, still part of the club and had a huge interaction with the people here. So, I mean, being able to help that grow and then just do everything we can to help the younger guys get good experiences and the opportunities that I was or wasn't able to get growing up. That's what it means, right? That's all about it.
Exactly. And what is it like for you? Then, like, maybe you're playing with some of these kids and thinking, I might have been that kid. Like, who was like, oh, my gosh, look who I get to play with right now.
Yeah, no, I remember playing back in the days in the academy and walking by first team training and getting called up to train with them every once in a while, like we still do. And I think that's something that's amazing that the first team does, is bring up academy guys and kind of give them the experience and kind of shows them what it takes to be there firsthand. And I think that's something that this club does that's super special.
This new construction that's going to be going on, mm-hmm. like, is that an exciting thing for the guys too? Like, are they like, oh man, this is, because it's going to be a different look whenever y'all get out on the pitch.
Yeah, no, we're super excited for it. I mean, we're going to obviously be able to get more people in the doors, more stand stuff. The giant screen is going to be pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's gonna.
Yeah.
I guess that's a Dallas thing. We do it at AT&T Stadium, and now we're doing that here. We just, yeah,
true.
Just like big screens, I guess.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, if Texas you're from here, Speedway. You get it. Yeah, you're from around here, you get it.
Yeah, man. It looks like it's going to be, I mean, the renderings are awesome, and knowing that the supporters get to go back to what was the original place for us down the road, that's really cool, too.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right. Now, in terms of how long is Paas away? Because we've had him on the show before, and I know obviously he wasn't there for the last match because he's busy being a superstar in Indonesia. Mm-hmm. Is he back already, or if not, when does he come back?
I think, I don't know exactly, but he's back this week. He's
okay.
Back this week at
okay,
some point.
So he will be back.
I think it might be later today even.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Excellent. What kind of bond do you share with him? Because I know, like, obviously you guys are angling for the same kind of thing, but you're on the same team. So what's that support like?
Yeah, it's a weird position. Goalkeepers just all around the world is, because only one guy plays, right?
Right.
But, I mean, at the end of the day, we're still on the same team. We still want everybody to succeed, even though we're battling for a position. And he's been super helpful in just kind of my growth and development as well in just kind of being able to watch him and see what he does, because he's obviously tried and tested in this league and many others outside of it. And then he's just his kind of willingness to kind of give helps, give pointers, advice whenever it's needed or asked for. It's just phenomenal, you know.
How important in your development was it being able to point to the specific player or general region of the field that let you down and led to a goal?
They're just redirecting, yeah. I think, yeah. Kevin. They're just saying, no.
You right there. You know what happened. No, I'm sure no goal. I'm sure you've given up some goals, but come on. We know that's an important part of being a goaltender. You're like, hey, right there. You saw what happened.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a problem-solving job. There's as much as it is just standing back there and trying to keep balls out of net, there's so much more that goes into it. And
absolutely.
So it's trying to figure out as many things possible on the fly and trying to help move people around, because you have the best view of anyone else. So
I think one of the understated things you've said in this interview is we didn't plan the rain. Multiple people texted in and said that was hilarious and understated. But if you could plan the rain, when would you call for it in a game? Like, when is the best time to call for rain?
You're saying like during
middle of a match?
During,
yeah.
Middle of a match?
Yeah.
Like, can I say the 15 minutes of halftime?
There you go. Yeah. So we get back out on the field and play. Yeah, I like
or
it.
Or if somehow you know the other team is definitely faster than your squad, and you're like,
let's
rain
make this
just
one
a little bit.
Make it sloppy a little bit.
All right.
No,
so
that's all right.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Michael Collodi. Yes?
Yep,
right
there
here.
We go. There
on
we go.
105.3 The Fan, man. Thank you very much for popping on with
us.
No,
thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely.
It was a pleasure.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming up next, we'll chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation live at Toyota Stadium in Frisco on 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan live from Toyota Stadium, where they have moved the party inside.
Mm-hmm.
So
I look like an angel right now with a little halo above my head.
And what did I tell you earlier in the show, Corey? That's how you always look to me. Kamar Rocker ended exhibition play for the Rangers on a high note. He struck out 8 batters for the second straight start. He gave up 3 hits, 3 walks, and held Kansas City hitters 0-for-11 when there were runners on base. And obviously runners on base with Kamar Rocker is going to be a big thing to watch
for sure
this season. And then Jacob deGrom said, I'm really close. I'm flying open, and he means with his mechanics.
Yeah.
So correct that and go from there. So he said he feels good heading into the regular season as well. Opening day, tomorrow. Globe Life Field, Whataburger opening day. We'll be doing our show there 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. We got Ian Kinsler on the show. Michael Young will be on the show. Derek Holland is doing the show with us. It is an extravaganza, but right now a show that's always an extravaganza. It is, courtesy of D&M Leasing, time to chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Terrific, Hagee. How the heck are you?
I'm doing great, and I have an important ethical question for you. Maybe it's not ethical. It's a societal question for you. Oh, so yeah. They were going to do this groundbreaking presentation and everything here at Toyota Stadium in Frisco outside, but it started to rain. So they have moved everybody, probably billions of dollars of wealth, into this room.
Probably so.
My question is, there are two headless mannequins dressed in FC Dallas garb out here. Do you think if I just picked one up and walked out the door with it that anybody in this room would stop me?
No, I don't think so, Hagee.
I don't think either.
I think you have a presence about you. You feel like a guy who belongs there. Hey, I've been hosting a radio show here all day. For all you know, this is my mannequin. I brought it here from my house just as a prop for my radio show, which is now ending. So,
you know, that's an interesting thing that you've added, is all these people have seen us in here all day. And they're probably like, well, those guys must be part of the club or
something. It's like walking into a place with a ladder. Everybody just assumes that you're going to go do some work somewhere.
Okay, interesting.
You guys are the mannequin show of record.
That's a fact.
It's well documented.
I don't know if I want to be the mannequin show of record.
Mental health, baseball, mannequins.
Elevators.
Yeah, we got a lot of show of records around here.
I don't think the wealthy types would really care. You know, they'll just be like, well, there might be a commoner stealing some stuff, but he probably needs it.
You know what?
I'm not going to get my hands dirty over this.
He needs it more than I do.
I definitely don't think you're wrong about that. Some of them are standing just feet from us. Now, there's probably plenty of common folks in this room, but there are a lot of uncommon folks in this room who have all of the money. They'd be like, yeah, so what? I'll go buy a crate of 1,000 new mannequins. Mm-hmm. I don't really care.
They're not going to miss the one mannequin that you take.
Yeah, exactly.
Where are we on the headless mannequin, though? Do we have a thought about it? Yeah, what are we doing with that? Like,
yeah,
the headless mannequin. Are we okay with this?
I guess if you're not going to be like advertising a hat or something or sunglasses on the face, you're just here to advertise. You want all the focus to be on what you're selling, which is clearly just the kit.
So is that a cost-cutting measure, you
literally
think?
No, it's a head-cutting
measure.
Lost
our head
measure.
Over it, yeah.
Okay, yes. Is that why they call it overhead?
Jokes.
Yeah, overhead.
Yes,
I like it.
Yeah, overhead. There you go. Yeah.
I like it. Now, I guess quick, serious sports question, I guess.
Are you sure about that?
I don't know.
Maybe
not. Yeah. A lot of steam has been building up about adopting the new kickoff rule for good, but expanding the touchback to 35. How do you guys feel about that potential?
I like it, especially with Kevontae Turpin. You know, as long as he's in his prime, I think it's a great idea. I think it's advantage Cowboys, and they need as much special team help as they can to bridge this gap back into contention. So that way in the short term. But it's more exciting. I just hope that, you know, they've engineered it in a way that's not going to increase injuries. You know, I don't want more CTE at the same time, Aggie.
Everybody else on board with this?
Yeah, one first down, you're in field goal range. Let's go.
Yes, that's exactly what we said earlier, at least for the Cowboys. So to Dawson's point, double advantage. To Broadus's point, double advantage Cowboys. So I kind of like that. What do you find fellas got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always. We're in a baseball sort of mind.
Sexy time.
Brad Miller, former Rangers, going to join us at 4. Levi Weaver, 5:20. We have a round tripper and everything breaking here in the world of sports right out of the gates here coming up at the top of the hour, including our reaction to this ridiculous Dak Prescott trade rumor.
It's not going to happen, people.
Thank you.
All right. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. By the way, somebody brought up the Christmas show record.
Yep,
I want it known.
That's true.
I have not asked another human being about their thoughts about Christmas or any of that since that happened.
Yeah, wait till the holidays, and we'll see how that happens.
Not going to happen. Thank you very much. Thank you very much to FC Dallas.
Like that time you asked Brad Sham about Thanksgiving, and he depressed us all.
Hey,
yeah.
I have learned lessons over the years.
Ask him about Christmas, too.
No, I know. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We've been the KNC Masterpiece. Remember, tomorrow we'll be doing the show live at Globe Life Field in Arlington, in center field, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Join us for Whataburger opening day right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Say light the shield, Kevin.
Light. Oh, yeah.